What we're going to talk about this morning, it's not anything new. I'm hoping that maybe this will help us as we're speaking to others, and it's also something that we always need to be mindful of. So I hope this lesson will be helpful to us. And that's the very thing that Arthur started his prayer off with, talking about this today. So these things that we recognize about our God. On the lesson I put, if you knew nothing else, what do the things we see about us tell us? So you either believe that there's a creator by the things that we see around us, or you think that they just came about on their own. Now, others might try to make us feel as if believing in a creator is foolish. That's foolish that we would think that there's a creator. Yet when we truly think about it, it's foolish to believe anything different. And to think that things just came about on their own is really foolish. It's not logical. So what should the creation cause in me when we see these things that are about us? When we recognize that not only the beauty of these things, but the creation in itself evidences something. When we think about how things grow, and when we think about especially ourselves, how we are designed, it's just hard to think that one could think that these things just happen. So these evidence that there's a creator. So what should creation cause in me? First, let's look at Psalm 19. I didn't put this on your lesson. But in Psalm 19:1, says that the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. So we see this idea that the things that we see evidence a mighty creator. Let's turn over to 1 Chronicles 16. And if y'all have a comment or thought or anything, just get my attention. If not, I'm going to keep on going. So 1 Chronicles 16:29. It says, to ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering, and come before him. Worship him in holy array. Now if we jump up at verse 26, it explained this idea that this God created or made the heavens. So this God is different than the gods that they would worship or idols. In Psalms 29:2, back in Psalms, very similar verse. Psalms 29:2, it says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. And if some of y'all do markings, you've probably already seen in this following verses, 3-9, almost every verse has this idea of the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. And which is the very thing we see if we look at Genesis 1:1, or talking about the beginning of Genesis, the creation, God said, and it was so. So this idea of speak things to happen. So this great might and power that the God we serve has. Let's look at Romans 1. Romans 1:19. That's not it. Okay. Okay. Romans 1:19. Well, before I say anything on that, so we looked at in these previous verses the idea of worship. We know that that word is worship, so it's the idea of God being worthy, His worthiness. So He is worthy, and why? And then what we're looking at this part of the lesson is the idea of creation. So in Romans 1:19, let me read verses 19 through 22 first. It says, verse 19, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor God or honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So, verse 19 starts off that which is known about God. It says that it is evident within them or within us. What is known about God is evident. God made it evident, is what it says. And then if you jump down to verse 21, you see this idea of they knew God. So how did they know God? So let's go to verse 20, in between the verse there. In between 19 and 21, it says, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. And then it also says at the end of this verse, that they are without excuse. So we're without excuse. The things that are around us that we see, evidence that there's a mighty Creator. And we won't get into the things that we're talking about in this verse, but because of that, they should have been honoring Him as so. And they should have been living in a specific way, but they weren't. They wanted to live like they wanted to live and do what they wanted to do. And the fact of the matter is, we all have that choice. That is our choice. But that doesn't mean that it is approved or that it is okay or that there's not consequences to that. Verse 32 said that their actions were worthy of death. So that is something for us to remember ourselves and possibly when we are speaking to others, when we start by maybe explaining the evidences that surround us, because that gives us an easy starting point that everybody sees. We can't deny these things we see. Now, we might not... They might not agree. They might not believe that this is due to a Creator, but that doesn't change fact that it's due to a Creator. So just a spot that we might be able to start. So let's say we're convinced that there's a Creator. Now what? Now what? There's a Creator. We see this around us. Now what? Does its creation explain God? It shows that He is powerful and mighty, but it doesn't explain His will on things. So how am I to know about Him? I put a couple points on there. I could talk to my religious friends and base my beliefs off of that. Or I could base my beliefs off of tradition. And what I mean by that is maybe family, what mom and dad believe or grandma believes, or I could believe it because the teacher or the preacher said it, and so on. We see these types of things with those about us that we speak to, or the way that they might be entrapped into error because of this type of stuff. Not only do these things have influence on them, but it also tends to bind them, especially in the sense if we think about family, because that's something that you might have a hard time getting some past. You can show them things, might even get them to understand, but for them to go against what family believed, they are bound to that. So these are just things we might run into. Now, these things we spoke about, believing something from our religious friend or tradition or the preacher saying it. Now, don't get me wrong. That in itself doesn't make those things wrong. That doesn't make them right or wrong. The problem is, or what we need to do, is find out where does that come from? Where did they get it? Steve already used this in his, I think, his past class, so I'm not going to bring up a lot about it, but we're very familiar with the Bereans. So they were searching the Scripture to see if it was so, and that's the idea there. We have a way to know for certain what things are. So how are we to know? You know, thinking about it's one thing, us in here, that know of God, and we have many good Bible students in here, but we need to think of this from a different perspective when we're talking about those that we can't assume what they know. We've already noticed that they're influenced by other things. They're influenced by other errors that are about there. And, you know, the father of lies, he loves that. Because if you can make someone believe in something that is not true, and that gives them a false sense of comfort, they're not really looking to find something different. So you have to be able to show them where it does matter. You have to get past this false sense of comfort. So too bad our Creator didn't leave us something that would help us in our understanding. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, that's a good point. That's definitely true, because we're without excuse. And that's what he points in the very thing, which is the creation alone evidences something. So, yes, creation doesn't explain it, but we today have God's Word that does. And that was the next point. I was wording it in a way as if we were speaking to those that might not understand. And, you know, that's why I said, too bad our Creator didn't leave something that would help us in our understanding. Because He has. And He's preserved His Word for us. And this can explain things to us. You know, because it's interesting when you think about the evidences around us that should cause something in us. And then if that causes something, and then we're searching for the answer, find God's Word, and we believe that it is God's Word, and then we look to it. Where does it start? What's Genesis 1:1? in the beginning God created. He starts with that very thing. You know, so that's just, it's interesting to me. So we see many things in God's Word. I just named a few in my notes, because there's, of course, more than this. But we see, first and foremost, that we are separated from God because of sin. We see that there is an adversary, the devil. We see that there is no way for us to overcome this on our own, not out of our own works. We see God's grace, God's love. We see that He sent His Son. He provided a way to overcome the situation, our Savior. So many things. We see how to put on our Savior. You know, and I mentioned some of these because these are some of the things that we might not agree, where others have some misunderstandings on things. So we see how we can put on our Savior, and we see how we should live, and on and on. You see that idea. So this is where we should begin our understanding about God. That's His Word. You know, because you think about it, we think about what someone might believe, and they might not even have anything. They believe in the Bible, but they might not even have anything in the Bible to back up what they believe. And, you know, that's dangerous, which we'll get to later on. But think about it. We say we want to serve God. Just calling it that, does that make it service to Him? It doesn't. Who better else is there to explain how to serve God? God, and we have His Word. So, where should we get our understanding about God? Okay.
The Bible, His Word. And
turn over to 2 Timothy 3:16, another familiar verse. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Rocky.
You've been looking at this from the aspect of a person who doesn't believe God is superior versus people that do believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a real practical application for Christians here in these verses about God being the Creator that can really help us. And that is, we know that our faith, each one of us, we need to keep working on our faith and building our faith. And you know, one way to do that, of course, is reading the Bible, studying it. I think another thing we can do to build our faith is, as Romans 1:20 talks about, is that taking time to look at God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we have faith in God, but we can improve our faith and make it stronger and have more trust in Him. The more we recognize that He's the Creator by looking at the beauty of the world, we could improve our faith about who He is.
I totally agree.
You know, sometimes we wonder, we look at the sky at the night and see all those stars out. So that we may know that He does exist. By looking at the creation, animal life, plant life, human life, all complexity and intricacy and balance, it just shows God's creation. And it, to me, that's also a faith-building exercise. So I think the lesson here is to take time to enjoy God's creation, His beauty, to understand it, and should build our faith in who He is. And He's beyond, as this verse says, He's eternal power.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes hard for us to imagine, but with what understanding we have,
yes, sir. Thank you, Rocky. Yes, definitely. I don't want to take away from the fact. I mentioned this could be things that would be helpful in teaching others, but of course, and the very reason why it's still good for us to look at it, and it's we see it throughout the Bible being brought up, this idea of creation. So definitely, that is something that should increase our faith, build our faith, and then as we look at things more and more and gain understanding of just how some of these things in the creation work, you know, it's amazing because things that we can take for granted so easily, sight, hearing, they're not that simple if you've looked at some of how these things work. And there's much more than just that. So Rocky's got a very good point. So that is something, when we look at these things, it should increase our faith. It should give us purpose and reason to thank our God. You know, that's one of the things we do. That's one of the things that Arthur started off with, you know, the day, being thankful for the creation. So we don't always word it that way, but we say things that mean that. So we understand the importance of that. So any other thoughts or comments? No? Okay. So in 2 Timothy 3:16, it tells us this very familiar verse to us. And it's easier to read if you're in 2 Timothy, not 1 Timothy. Go 2 Timothy 3:16. I knew that didn't look right. It says that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. We see this idea that what we read, well, here Paul was telling Timothy he can use these things to teach, reprove, correct, and train in righteousness. But God's Word in itself, because that's what he was to use, that God's Word in itself can do that if we allow it as readers, as we continue to grow in study. We will see things. We'll grow in our understanding. We'll see where we might need to make correction. We see things that help to train us in righteousness. We see things that reprove us. And the hard part is the correction. So we see that God's Word can give us the answers to the things that we need to know. That is what we should look to explain the Creator of these things that we see about us. Again, because we clearly see the creation, but it doesn't explain God's will on things. But God has preserved His Word, and that does explain His will. Does it mean that we're always going to follow that, as we see with, and I need to be careful when I say when we see how others do things. We can do these things too. So that's why we look to God's Word and we study and we see what we hear. So, because that is what's important. As we'll see at the last point that I'll make, doing what God expects or what He wants or commands, we will see is very important. It doesn't matter our thoughts on what we think about it or how we reason to get to that answer. We better do what God asked us to do. So we'll see that a little bit further. So we've established this point that there's a Creator. We've established this Creator's preserved a way for us to know His will on things, His Word. Does it really matter how I do things? You know, He's the loving God. Right? He is a loving God. There's no disputing that. He's proven that. We see that with His Son. But that's not the only side of things. So He's proven His love and what He's done through His Son. But we also see that He expects us to live in a certain way. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:9. Okay. 1 Peter 2:9. put this in here that we see this idea. We are a special people to God. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're a special people. Real briefly, because I don't want to spend a lot of time in this book, but in Ephesians 1:5, that's an inside joke. But it's a probably one of my favorite books. So we will just briefly just want mention one thing. Ephesians 1, well, more than one, but in Ephesians 1:5, we see this idea. Talking about that God predestined us to adoption as sons through Christ Jesus to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. So we see here, we are definitely a special people, those who believe and trust in God and serve Him. 4:1 talks about that we. In which you have been called. We see ideas walk and walk no longer. These things that we should be doing, we're supposed to be putting on things and putting off things. Well, why? Walk no longer. Because our purpose has changed. Now, God's purpose in us has never changed, but our purpose, our focus has changed. Our thing has changed. And our allegiance has changed. So we are to grow in an understanding of God and His Word. 2 Peter 3:18. For time, I'll just read it. We must grow in the knowledge of His grace. Grace and knowledge. We need to grow in the knowledge of His grace. 2 Peter 2:2, we were already in 1 Peter, but in 1 Peter 2:2, I didn't mention this idea. It says, like newborn babe, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow and salvation. The idea that the Word is likened to pure milk that a babe must have. It's because of this nourishment and what you can gain from it. So we need the Word of God. We are to look to it and gain nourishment and strength from it and grow in it.
Go ahead, Ennis.
It's a continuation that we're continually trying to grow, because if our attitude's right towards God, we're going to want to know how to better understand Him. We're going to recognize that we don't know everything, and He provides the answers. So as we grow, then we continue to change and make changes if that's what God's Word shows us that we need to do. So yes. Yes.
But I'm going to use a unique analogy here. So bear with me for a second. But do we have a cult-like
How are you able to make a defense? By study. So that, yeah, good point, Keith. So that's, this study will help us into, number one, living in a way that pleases God. But it will also prepare us to be able to help others, you know, to be able to not the attitude of some that, not just to whoop them, you know, to be able to do it that way, but no, our intention should be to, because we truly want to help them. We see a soul is in danger. That needs to be our attitude. Okay, 2 Timothy 6. I'm just getting excited because we're running out of time. We're going to make it. So, indeed, God does love us. There's no doubt about, but like we said, he's also a God of wrath, and that's what we're going to look at right here in 2 Samuel 6. So, does it really matter how I do things? Does it really matter? Ask us. That's all I'm saying. 2 Samuel 6, 3 through 7. And my reason for this is there's an importance of doing things in the way that God has commanded, because what we will see here doesn't matter your reasoning, your think-sos, any of that. What it boils down to is, you know, did you do what God said? And then we will see how he answers that. So in 2 Samuel 6, we'll look at, I'll read verses 3 through 7. Says, and they placed the ark of God on a new car, that they might bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. So they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Ahio was walking ahead of them. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood and lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out towards the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God. So, first off, what do we take from verse 5? Verse 5, where it's talking about King David and what people were saying. Does this verse make you think that David was intentionally trying to do something that displeased God? No. No, far from it. I mean, so they were celebrating or worshiping. The text implies that he isn't purposely doing anything against God. He was celebrating before God. So also, can we see that our attitudes and intentions can be right? And what I mean by that is we mean well. So we can do things that we might have meant well on, but our actions are dead wrong. Considering the light of how people worship, can that be something that we need to consider? Again, people, others, we could have good intentions, but we could be wrong in what we do. Again, that's why we looked at where we need to be getting how we do things. God's Word, because that's where the answers are provided. So good intentions on their own do not make something right. We do not get to dictate what pleases God. You know, we're the created. So we need to keep that in mind. We're not the creator. He dictates what we're to do. So when God has been specific about things, we better do what He's commanded. So sometimes people think they have a better way of doing things. And that to me, I posed it that way because that's my thinking when I read this. So what did they do in verse 3 that was different? What was different in the way that they transported this ark? Okay, they put it on a cart, this new cart. It mentions that twice.
Well,
and it mentions also that this was a hilly area twice. I don't know if that play part of the reason why they did some of this. Maybe so, but we still see what the answer is. They put on a new cart. Do we really think that we can think of something that God hasn't? You know, because that's what I think of. At least in this case, you know, maybe the way we might reason, but God, it's hilly. You know, these guys can't handle that with the poles, and you know, I think it's better. Let's just put on a cart. God specified how this is to be transported. It was with poles through the rings. So that was the error. So what does it do wrong? Wasn't he right in trying to keep this cart steady?
Okay.
We're going down these hills. This is the ark of God. It's about to fall over. I don't want to hit the ground, do I? So I reach out and I touch it.
Yes.
Uzzah was trying to steady the ark.
And we can easily see how
one might reason in this way, but we also see what God's answer is for that. So he was looking out for the ark. It could have turned over. But verse 6 clearly said that Uzzah reached out and took a hold of it. First off, we think about he shouldn't have been in that situation. So that's something for us to remember, the situations we might allow ourselves to be in. But you might think, well, he didn't necessarily put himself in that situation. That's something for us to think about, too. Doesn't matter who put you in that situation. It doesn't matter if it's a king or whoever. We go by what God said first. That should be first and foremost. And that was the bottom line. They did not transport this in the way that God expected. And Uzzah did something that man wasn't allowed to do. He touched his heart. So verse 7
states that the anger of the Lord
burned against Uzzah. And what reason was that? Why was the Lord so angry with Uzzah? It's a question. Y'all can answer. I was going to say, they already knew, didn't they? When it states here, it was irreverence. So they weren't treating God as holy. So we need to think about that. Maybe something sounds like a good idea. We better consider what God